This is Dan Jones, preacher for the Cowan Church of Christ. For a few hundred years after the children of Israel settled in the land of Canaan, they had no king, but were ruled by judges, people chosen and appointed by God to serve in this capacity. The Israelites, however, grew increasingly dissatisfied with this form of government, and by the time Samuel was judge, they decided they wanted a king to rule over them. God was not pleased with this, since truly He was their king. And God had warned the people long before of what would happen if they chose to have a king. Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 20. Through Samuel, God warns them again of the hardships and difficulties that would follow. But the people persisted, and God allowed them to have their king. 1 Samuel 8, verses 5 through 22. You will recall that Saul was the first king of Israel. When he was chosen, the prophet Samuel said to the people, "And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king before us." 1 Samuel 10, 19. The particular part of this story that we want to consider at this time is the reason the people gave for wanting a king. This reason is explicitly stated by the people as expressed in 1 Samuel 8, 19 and 20. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations." The reason they wanted a king was because other nations had kings, and they wanted to be like everyone else. The desire to conform to the ways of others seems common to humanity. Too often, the decisive question is not what is the right thing to do, but rather, what is everyone else doing? With some, this is the only important consideration. The Israelites wanted a king because everyone else had one. They refused to consider whether God would be pleased. In fact, they were told God would not be pleased, but they did not care. They did not believe or care about what God, through Samuel, said concerning the consequences that would follow choosing a king. Nor did they care that the nations they were following were all heathen, idolatrous nations. They would not be happy until they had a king in imitation of the neighboring nations around them. It is, of course, true that there is no virtue in being different just for the sake of being different. In fact, except in matters of right or wrong, sinfulness or righteousness, it is best to seek to fit in with the customs of others. Read what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23, especially the latter part of verse 22, which says, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He made it plain, however, that this did not mean going against the law of Christ. But the temptation often is to go along with the crowd, thinking what the crowd thinks and doing what the crowd wants to do, even though it may not be pleasing to God. This is evident in the religious choices that people make. The important consideration too often is not what is in keeping with the truth. Rather, it is that which is in keeping with popular trend. Many people know the truth, but will not follow it because their friends do not accept it, or because society in general does not accept it. How foolish it is to allow our soul's destiny to rest on the choices of the majority. The Lord said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7, 13 and 14. To follow the truth at the possible cost of offending friends, and to stand for what is right even when it is unpopular, takes real courage and strong faith. But if we love God and His truth enough to stand against the crowd, against the majority, against what is popular, we will be shining lights. Christians must be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Further, the Bible teaches children of God, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12 and verse 2.